I immediately hated myself for scaring her again, and I tried to apologize, but it was too late. Her eyes filled with tears, her arms went limp, and her bottom lip quivered like a child. "I need you to listen to me, Jack. For once. Please." But I didn't listen. Instead, our emotions rose again, and she repeatedly assured me that she wasn't having an affair, that she wasn't seeing someone. And I told her countless times that I was sorry for frightening her, but neither of us believed the other. An hour later, after we'd retreated to our neutral corners, we met in the kitchen, in the center ring. We were more civilized and promised to fight fairly. Molly poured herself another glass of wine and then gave one to me, filling mine to the brim. I also noticed that while I'd been pouting in the parlor, reading emails and such, she'd cleaned up my mess. Our broken plates were in the trash, and the hardwood floor swept clean, but the damage had been done. She feared me, and I cursed myself for scaring her again. But the discussion that followed surprised me. "Jack, what if ghosts are real? What if I told you that what Danny saw was a spirit, a supernatural being living in this house?" I wanted to be understanding. I needed to be kind. But she was talking crazy again. "That sounds ridiculous, Moll. I'm saying..." Her sentence trailed until it disappeared into silence. Then she slowly shook her head and began gathering her books, in a way that told me she was upset again. So much for fighting fair. "Hey, I thought we were talking. I was just being honest." "I'm going to bed," she said. "Good night, Jack." I followed her. "You didn't let me finish." She stopped halfway up the stairwell and turned. "Finish what?"
"I don't know. I mean, Danny would know the difference between a ghost and a cowboy, wouldn't he?"
"How do you know? Have you ever seen a ghost?"
"Sure," I answered. "Ghostbusters. Who you gonna call?" I was trying to be cute, but it completely backfired.
She nodded, and tears filled her eyes.
"Ghostbusters? Great. I knew you wouldn't understand."
Then she turned and began climbing the stairs again. I caught up to her at the top and wrapped my arms around her waist, her books held tightly to her chest. I could feel her heart racing. "I'm sorry. I'm trying. I really am. But something is going on. You're not telling me something." She buried her head in my shirt. "I just want you to hold me. Please." "Of course," I said, squeezing her tighter. "How can I help? What can I do?"
Suddenly, her body tensed, and she broke free.
"That's the thing, Jack. You can't."
I followed her.
"You don't know that."
She shook her head. When she reached our bedroom door, she stopped and laughed, almost hysterically. Tears were running down her cheeks, and she could barely hold her book, she was trembling so badly.
"We need to leave this house, Jack."
I took the books from her.
"Okay, a couple of weeks. We'll get out of here. Where would you like to go?"
She looked back toward the stairwell, as if a ghost might be coming up at any moment.
"Anywhere. As far away as possible."